Hello, it is another Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. I'm your host, Chris Heal, and come rain, sleet or shine, the co-founders of Loose Heads, Rob, Dave and Mark, join me over Zoom once again, guys. How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks, mate.
Excellent. And now we've been pretty transparent on the Loose Heads podcast in recent weeks that we have recorded it on a Friday afternoon, usually, because it has been enjoyable to kind of end the week by recording a podcast and speaking to these global rugby stars and pundits. But we're actually recording this one on a Wednesday morning. There's a very, very good reason for that. We have not one but two guests on the podcast today. But first off, it's a big welcome back to Wasps and England's Brad Shields. Brad, how are we? It seems a long time ago since we did that podcast in April.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago. It's, to be fair, like now that it's lockdown sort of starting to ease, it feels like it's gone pretty quickly. But as you say before, the sun has disappeared today, so I'm a bit worried to see what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks.
And you've changed your look as well, Brad. There's now no hair.
Yeah, I've been through a roller coaster of looks or facial hair and hair over the last sort of 8 weeks, but I don't know. I've got to wait for it to grow back now.
Well, Brad has managed to organise this podcast today. He's managed to bring a friend along with him to the Loose Heads podcast today. And we're delighted to say we welcome Hurricanes and New Zealand World Cup winner Dane Coles to the Loose Heads pod. Dane, thanks very much for joining us. How's things over in New Zealand?
Cheers, lads. Thanks for having me. Must be an early start for you boys. But it's good. It's been good. We're back at training, mate. So boys are pumped. And we kick off Hurricanes against the Blues. So we're pretty happy to be back. Running around and doing what we love.
Yeah, I mean, talking Rugby Union Day, and we managed to hop on to one of the press conferences you were involved with a couple of weeks ago, and it was really great to talk to you there. And you mentioned how much of a break it's been for you in your career to get back to playing again. So I guess you guys now, with the season resumed, you're all itching to get back playing again.
Yeah, mate. We were obviously thinking that there was going to be no rugby for the rest of the year. So, yeah, like I said, the boys are buzzing. It's we were stepping on eggshells a little bit when we first came back into base, but we're right into the mix of things now. We've got a bit of a game tomorrow in-house, so that'll be interesting. So, we're looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Dane. And usually on the podcast, we talk straight away about Loose Heads and sort of mental health awareness. And in rugby, Dane, we see quite a lot of teams and players now supporting and promoting awareness for mental health. I mean, what's kind of your stance on it? Is it, everyone should be okay to talk about the problems if they're struggling?
Yeah, hugely, mate. I've probably been through a little bit through injuries and stuff like that. So, if you get your mental space right, it definitely has a real effect on how you play rugby as well. And so, it's about talking to each other and having a, coffee with your mate and helping mates out, being aware of, you can see guys in a bit of a rut. So, mate, it's a massive part of where we do things now and making sure people, speak up and be the best person they can be and not doing it alone.
And also, Dave, with rugby in New Zealand's been such a massive part of day-to-day society, do you guys maybe see yourselves as role models to maybe talk about mental health? Because I guess a lot of people do look up to like yourself and so many other the stars of the New Zealand rugby.
Yeah, I think we have a responsibility, mate. There was probably a massive stigma, with rugby players, that there were big, hard guys that never really showed their emotions. So I think over probably the last 5 years, we've kind of broken those barriers. And I suppose it's inspiring the next generation, the next, kids coming through, adults, whoever it may be, to really, make sure it's like a priority in their life. And they put time into it so they can, feel the best way they can be and speak up. And it's all good to feel those emotions, to cry, to, hug your mate and stuff like that. So, yeah, we definitely have a responsibility to make sure people feel welcome and at ease as well.
And Brad, that must be really positive to hear, one of your former teammates and close friends, Dane, talk about mental health awareness that way, because we focused a lot on the podcast about how well the Premiership players do, how well you do in supporting mental health awareness. But to hear Dane say that must be another positive as well.
Yeah, I guess for rugby, and I might have mentioned it last time I was on here, rugby's sort of like a universal language. So no matter where you are in the world or no matter what team you're playing for, whether it's a professional team, a grassroots type of team, a club team, whatever it is, there's all types of different struggles that go on. And not one person has the same struggle, whether you're on one, just because you're on one side of the world or the other. And I guess that's what rugby does. It brings a lot of people together. And like what Dan said, as a responsibility, or if we can shed as much light on this sort of stuff as we can, and that make people, especially, you know, and younger people who aspire to be in our shoes, you know, that it's okay to go through a little bit of difference or a little bit of tough times and come out better on the other side. It makes you a stronger person, and like Dan said, ultimately to perform better on the rugby field, which everyone wants, and how you move forward.
And Rob, Brad and Dane both talk about kind of, you know, aspiring the next generation there. And we've done a lot with team mental health. And obviously you guys have done a lot with team mental health about saying mental health affects everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are. So it must be great to hear Brad and Dane talk about, you know, the younger generation as well as everyone in society.
Yeah, we started this whole thing because, you know, rugby is for us is a labour of love. It's our passion. And it's something that we get very excited about and we talk about every day anyway. So to use this passion and an everyday of life to be good Samaritans and really spread the message around mental health and talk about your feelings. Mental health does not discriminate. It can affect us all, and it will affect us at some point in our lives. But if you look at the suicide rates in the UK and New Zealand, you know, male suicide, suicide rates alone, they're horrific. So we're using rugby as a passion, as a way to tackle the stigma.
And Mark, a number of podcasts we talked about, you've used the quote that the New Zealanders invented rugby. So when Dane kind of speaks so passionately about, you know, mental health, it must be great when, you know, he's probably one of, you know, the figureheads, or one of the figureheads for the All Blacks in the last few years.
Absolutely. Having Dane and Brad talk about their feelings quite openly gives everybody the legitimacy to do it themselves. So yeah, it's a huge honour for us to get people like these guys on, and they did invent rugby. It's true.
Dane, you mentioned sort of, you know, the injury problems that you've had, and that may have affected you in the past. And Brad spoke about it really well on the podcast when we spoke to him. Is that a massive thing for players? Because from an outsider looking in, we see, oh, he's injured, he has, you know, has time off, it's going through rehab, but there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, mate, like when you're probably going through your injuries, and because you're quite isolated, like you're not actually with the team, so when the team's kind of training, you're by yourself or you go in at different times, so it's quite a lonely place. And when you go probably through a number of them, yeah, you kind of, like I probably at the start, I probably bottled it up, so I probably wasn't having a yarn, and then, yeah, then you just got to find a way. And I just maybe had a chat to my missus, probably had a chat to Brad. And I felt when I did that, I could just, it was just like a massive weight off my shoulder, and I could felt like I'd get through the day and move on and set little goals. So, and guys are injured all the time. Like, guys, and it might not be an injury, it might be something that's going on at home. So, yeah, just the importance of speaking up or finding something that makes you feel better so you can get on with the day. You're not bottling up all that kind of bad energy and putting you in probably a bad space. So yeah, it's it doesn't happen just straight away. You know, I think you learn, and I suppose like you said, guys, you know, us speaking up will help that, because people get in those situations, they can feel like, oh, if Brad's doing it or Dane's doing it, then maybe I should try it to help that out.
And just on that, Dane, how important is it to sort of reach out to, you know, your family or your partner, or like you say, Brad and your teammates? Because I guess the first step is it's talking about it, and from there it does slowly get easier.
Yeah, huge, mate. That's the biggest step. And if you can find the confidence and to do that, you know, it's gonna help you immensely. So yeah, it might take a little while because, you know, obviously, you know, the blokes kind of find it hard to reach out, but honestly, like the more we talk about it, the more we make it, you know, real easy to talk about with other guys or people in your family. It's it makes a massive difference. So yeah, it's very important.
Absolutely, Dane. Well, it's brilliant to hear your thoughts on mental health, and obviously Brad's involvement with Loosehead has been brilliant as well. But let's talk about your playing days together now, if you don't mind. And obviously, you spent some really fun times and some really good memories at the Hurricanes. I mean, first of all, Brad, what was it like to play alongside Dane?
Ooh. Take it easy, bro.
Throw you straight into the deep end there, Brad.
Oh, take it easy. For me, without, you know, getting too cheesy, Dane sort of took me under his wing when I sort of came onto the professional rugby scene, even as early as Wellington. So, I think everyone would probably back me up on this. Dane's sort of one of those players that leads by example and leads by actions first, and he's very passionate about the game, and he's obviously not afraid to say what's on his mind. Then first things first, he's going to play well, and the team is obviously first and foremost for him. So I think that's what I guess as a player, you want to sort of be surrounded by people like that, and that's what I sort of, that's the vibe I got, you know, playing with Dane. No matter no matter what game it was, or no matter what training session it was, there was always a purpose behind it. There was always a passion behind it, and I think it definitely rubbed off on the team, and you could see over the time when I joined. Anyway, obviously Dane's been there a few years before I was, but you know, you could see it building into that culture where it was all about the team, and I think that definitely starts with, like you say, figureheads who drive there, and I think Dane's definitely one of them. So enjoyable to play with as well, because he always brings a little bit of niggle on the field, not just that training, but also in the games as well. So he's sort of, I got your back, mate. I'll come in and help you out again. But no, it's pretty good.
And Dane playing with Brad, and he said there that, you know, you took him under your wing, if you like. But what was it like to play with Brad and see Brad developing as a player when he was at Hurricanes?
Yeah, mate, he was a special player. Like, that's probably the first thing I probably recognised with him. He just had a great work ethic. Was like really keen to learn. We spent, I can't even remember the first year Lions was maybe 2011. So we spent, you know, a good 7-8 years together and formed a pretty good relationship. But yeah, love playing with Shieldsy. You know, always would give it everything on the field, and just a good bloke. Like, we had some good times outside of rugby, which was awesome. Had a bit of fun, but yeah, really, really talented player, and just, yeah, loved his work rate and work ethic, and he cared a lot about the Hurricanes when he was there, and played it, like, that's the way he played, just played for the swell and did his work.
You mentioned sort of the good times you had there, Dane, and I think Bolan Barrett has spoken in the past about sort of the camaraderie you had as a group of teammates. I mean, how strong was that bond? And it's quite clearly, just from the smile on your face, that you had a good time.
Yeah, probably won't go too much depth. We had a good crew. Like, before Shieldsy left, there was a good bunch of us that had been in the, like, probably the young fellas, like mid-age, that had kind of come through. So we had a really good environment, really good work ethic. But yeah, a lot of the times I would probably remember, probably off the field, the parties and like the team functions and stuff like that. Brad's pretty out there. Always that crazy guy. That's some crazy stuff. Did you tell him about you and Bodie at all? But yeah, we had some just good memories, mate. Really, really good times with Shields and some few of the boys.
Not gonna comment on that, bro.
Nah. Like you said, it's a good time. I was like, one thing obviously with like, I said before we left, quite similar people. Like, obviously our wives get on really well, and sort of have the same sort of morals and ethics, and I think that transferred, like you say, on the field, but off the field, but also, you know, when you want to let your hair down and have a good time, all those sort of things, sort of, they all marry up, which was quite cool. You sometimes quite hard to find people that that you get on with it with a special level like that, and you've probably only got, I suppose, you know, you can count them on both hands of those sort of people in your life. So it's pretty cool fun.
And does it just show that team bond as well, Brad, that you know, you're still very close with Dane, and as Dane says, you know, you had such a good relationship with the guys. So does that just show how well you all got on as a team, that you've still been able to keep in touch with Dane the way you have?
Yeah, I think it definitely took a lot of work from when I first came in anyway. They were obviously had like a, I think I mentioned it last time I was on here, we obviously had a long-term goal, and the players understood what their role was in building that culture, that winning culture and all that sort of stuff. So I think it did take a bit of time, but you know, once it's there and you've had the same group of guys, or the same core group of guys, you know, spitting out the same sort of you know, standard and expectation, and you know, how to enjoy the side of rugby, because that's a massive part of it as well, enjoying what you do and being passionate about it, because if you're not having fun along the way, then, you know, it's pretty hard to get up and do what you do each day. So I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, obviously winning helps, But if you love what you're doing and you love the guys around you, and everyone's got a common purpose and a common goal, then it makes it much easier, and you obviously gel a little bit easier.
And one of the very successful times you had, Dane, playing together was winning the Super Rugby in 2016, and obviously you captained that side, and Brad mentioned it last time on the podcast how special that moment was for you guys. I mean, I think if I'm right in saying, Dane, it was your first Super Rugby title for the Hurricanes, so how important was that for the team, but how much did you enjoy that success, because it seemed like it had been building for quite a few years?
Yeah, mate, it was probably one of my favourite years of rugby, to be fair, like especially the year before, because we got right to the final, we lost to the Landers. And we had a lot of like senior guys leave. We had Conrad Smith, Mar Nonu, Ben Franks, Jeremy Thrasher. We lost a lot of experience. So, yeah, 16 was awesome. We just, every game that we played, we just seemed to get more confidence with each other, more trust. And I think we must have played the Waratahs, and they had pretty much had like an Aussie forward pack. You know, they were huge, and we got lost a few scrums. But we seen, our attitude was we're always coming back. Like, we didn't care what happened. We were like, there was no way we were going to lose the game. We managed to win, and then from that, I reckon from that point, we kind of, just became like a habit of winning, and we had a massive desire to play for each other. And then, it was, things just clicked, and then next thing, we're in a final at our home stadium. We managed to get to Lions, but like me and Brad, we grew up watching the Hurricanes. Like, I used to go to the games. I was a young fella, so to get the first championship for a franchise that we care a lot about was pretty special, mate. It was a great night and a great few days, just team bonding with the boys. So, it was pretty special.
You didn't tell him that he played with his broken ribs as well, which was quite special. They seemed to disappear that after the game, though, once he had a few beers.
And you mentioned kind of growing up and watching the Hurricanes there, Dane, and you obviously captained the side. And I was reading the other day, I think there was an article that was looking back on that team, and it was four years to the day that you lifted the trophy. And it mentioned that you were captain of the year that year, so that must have been a bit of an icing on the cake for you at the end of the season.
Yeah, mate. You only got the C next to you now. Like, there was a lot of guys like Brad himself that we kind of you don't just do it by yourself. We had it was probably me, Bodie, TJ, Victor. We had some real good leaders in that pack that had been there for a while, and we had some we didn't have a lot of experience. Probably we had a lot of guys that just came on that year. Michael Fetialofa, Vaifa Fida, Willis, like guys like that who no one really heard of, but then they end up being superstars. The Tom and Bear, and some real good characters that just kind of, we were just all gelled, mate. And it was I was lucky enough to put up the trophy at the end of the game, but it was a massive, team effort, not just from the players, but the management as well. It was a special day, one I'll probably never forget.
And Brad mentioned you had a bit of damage to your ribs there, Dane. Was there absolutely no way you were going to miss that game?
I was still 50-50 probably on the Friday night. We had to go do like a publicity thing with the trophy, and even the morning I was like, still unsure, but got a jab and just took the pain away, and I was away laughing. But there's probably no way I was going to miss that game. But it was worth it, definitely worth it.
And from that success of the Hurricanes, obviously combined with that is your international career, game. But before we sort of go into your All Blacks time, obviously you must have played against Brad a couple of years ago when he was playing for England at Twickenham, and you were representing New Zealand. I mean, what was that experience like? Because, 2 years previous, you'd been lifting the Super Rugby Cup together.
Yeah, it was real weird. I think I caught him on the, because we were going to catch up during the week, but we just, it's pretty busy during Test week. I think we rang each other on Thursday, had a yarn. It was still quite, I was trying to crack jokes. He was real serious, like, wouldn't give me anything. And then, we faced off in the haka. I was just in my head, I'm just gonna look for Brad and look at him, and we just stared at each other the whole haka, and then managed to get on the second half, and we managed to say something at a ruck. We had a bit of a laugh together, but it was cool, mate. It was like, we were stoked for Brad that he chose that path, and to play international footy was awesome. And we swapped jerseys after the game, so that was pretty special as well. So it was cool, real good buzz playing against a mate that's worked his ass off to get where he is.
Well, we didn't actually get to meet up in the end. It was We tried, but the training week just didn't quite. Days off were a little bit different. But I can imagine if somebody saw us in Teddington or wherever they were staying, sitting us together in a coffee, it might look a bit funny. But I would have been great to catch up. But I guess like what Dane said, it's such a busy time of year for touring team, and everyone's so fixated on what's coming up at the weekend. Especially like for me, that was probably one of the biggest games, minus the final for the Hurricanes, probably one of the biggest games mentally for me. It was quite strange because it sort of felt like a Super Rugby game, I guess, for me, because it was all the guys that I've been playing against, week in and week out for the last sort of 6 or 7 years. So I try not to make any contact with anyone down the tunnel. Because I knew I probably would have cracked a smile or something like that at some stage. But yeah, I do remember the ruck that Causey pushed my face into the mud.
Just sort of onto your New Zealand career, Dane, and obviously it's been such a wonderful international career for you, and obviously probably the highlight is the 2015 World Cup. But just for, mere mortals like myself, what is it like to represent the All Blacks? Because, we've seen the documentaries, etc., and it just seems such a special, special thing to be a part of.
Yeah, mate, it's probably hard to put it in the right words, but like every Kiwi kid, they want to play for the All Blacks, and to get to that dream words probably can't describe it, but yeah, everything you've ever done in your rugby career, all those trainings, academy trainings, all those 6 a.m. starts, all those missed functions, because you're putting everything into your rugby to put on that jersey and do the haka and the anthem for the first time. It's a once in a lifetime feeling, and to be a part of it for a little while is pretty special. So yeah, definitely ticked off my childhood goal, and yeah, something I'll cherish for the rest of my life, because it's not many guys get to do it, so it's been one hell of a ride.
I finished watching the All or Nothing series that focuses on the All Blacks on Amazon the other day. I've finally got round to doing it. Now I've got a bit more time on my hands. I noticed that Steve Hansen is very brutal in those training sessions. Every coach might be like that. We just don't see the coverage of it. But when he speaks to TJ after the Lions test, he seems to come across very brutal. What is he like, and does that obsessive nature make him the best?
Yeah, like he's brutal, mate, but he's probably honest. Like, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like, he's not saying it to get under your skin or to put you down. He just wants you to be the best. And the way it comes across might be a bit, raw, if that's so it probably takes a little while to probably get used to. Like, I think if you're a young fella, you'd be like, this guy doesn't like me, but he's just trying to get the best out of you. And, that was just the way he did things. And he was actually, once you kind of take the cameras away and hit it, he's a good man. Like, he'd come ask you about your family, stuff like that. So, but I think, winning and performing was a massive part of the way he coached, and he wanted the All Blacks to succeed. And it was a massive part of his drive to do that. And that's the way he did things, was with his raw honesty and trying to make players better.
And Dane, you said there that it's been one hell of a ride, and I think that's probably a little bit of an understatement, because you've been part of this New Zealand side that has been so, so dominant over sort of the last 8 to 10 years, if you like. I mean, what has that been like? And obviously with the winning the World Cup in 2015 must have been the real high point in that.
Yeah, it's been good, mate. Well, not good. It's been pretty awesome, to be fair. Like, we've had a few it hasn't been gone all the way. Like, we've had a few, losing to Ireland, losing to England in semi-finals. We've had a few, low points, but that's just footy. But yeah, it's just been special, mate. Some really good people on those teams, good management, and yeah, it's just going out and playing footy, to be fair, and doing it in an All Black jersey is just extra special. It's a massive part of New Zealand, massive part of All Black rugby, and yeah, it's hard to put into words, but yeah, I just think I'm real lucky, mate, that I've been able to do it for that amount of time. And yeah, it's the people, the games, the crowds, the fans, the trips. It's been awesome, mate. It's been really cool.
And when you won the World Cup in 2015, Dane, I can imagine there's a moment where you just compose yourself in the dressing room. You've got the gold medal around your neck and the celebrations are going on, but you probably look round and you've played with these unbelievable players. You know, what was that feeling like when you look round at those guys?
Yeah, mate, like there was we didn't really talk about it during the World Cup, but there was a massive part of probably my motivation was to send out guys like, you know, Richie, Dan, you know, all those, Mark, Conrad. There's so many legends of not just All Black rugby, but world rugby, and those guys deserved, you know, to go out the way they did. So yeah, it was cool, mate. Looking around and having a few beers with, you know, Richie and Mar and Conrad was extra special, and you know, it was a good way to send out some legends of the game, and yeah, it was a good few days.
And made slightly sweeter by beating Australia in the final at Twickenham.
Yeah, always extra special beating the Aussies. So no, it was good. Yeah, it was a good game.
And just on Australia Day, I've got to mention a try. I think it was the same year, maybe in 2015, that you scored against Australia. But we were having a bit of a chat yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that we do think you're probably the quickest hooker in world rugby. I don't know if Brad can testify that.
That's why I put him in my 15, because he can play anywhere.
Used to. You know. Yeah, mate. I was pretty lucky. Dizzy did all the work. I just kind of ran until I had no gas. But I remember after that trial, I was gassed for like the whole game. Like, that speed endurance was not made for hookers, I think. That was the last action I probably did. But yeah, it was cool, mate, because it was I think we lost to Aussie the week before, and that game was like the side in the Bledisloe and last game for a lot of those legends in New Zealand. So it was a good way to send them out, and yeah, it's always nice to get a meat pie.
Well, we're hoping to see a couple of meat pies, Dane, from you when Super Rugby returns. I think there's quite a lot of people from the UK who'll be so interested in what's going on in New Zealand, because we've been without rugby for quite a while, and I think both yourself and Brad are probably very much the two people that we can speak to about sort of what Super Rugby can offer. And Dane, for people who may not know too much about Super Rugby, what can we expect from the next 10 weeks and the added incentive of it being New Zealand derbies every week?
Yeah, mate, she's going to be pretty pretty physical, I reckon. New Zealand derby is always pretty tough. I think it's because there's a few, I don't know if you guys, there's like a golden point now. They've brought in a golden point rule. The red card, which might be good for the Hurricanes, because we've had a couple of red cards this year that can be replaced after 20 minutes. So, be good, mate. I reckon it's going to be a lot running rugby. Guys will just want to have a go. Obviously, the game's been taken away from us for a bit. So, I reckon, boys will be pretty energetic and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be a great spectacle, I think. And I think the crowds, I think they might be back as well for the first game, I think. They've announced, so that's going to be New Zealand. You can imagine New Zealand rugby fans will definitely make a day of it. 3 o'clock game, so yeah, most everyone will be home by about 7 o'clock. But yeah, it'll be good, mate. It's going to be real entertaining footy and pretty brutal as well.
This question is probably going to be for Brad now, Dane, because I can imagine your answer will be the Canes. But Brad, in terms of sort of the teams that to watch out for, I guess all five of them have their qualities. But what should we be looking out for from these New Zealand franchises?
I don't know. I guess. Obviously, deep down, you always want the Canes to do really well and be super competitive. I hate to say it, because it's obviously one of the biggest rivalries we've had, but I guess the Crusaders are probably going to be a pretty strong team again, and I'm actually interested to see how Bodie goes up at the Blues and what the story is going to be up there. So he's obviously not going to get tired if he can run a 4:12 Bronco, so yeah, boys might have a bit of a handful over there. But yeah, no, it's going to be unreal, and like you say, every sort of player fan of rugby around the world is going to be tuning in, because it's basically the only rugby that's going to be played. So I'm looking forward to it as well, and looking forward to seeing the ball get chucked around again.
Yeah, and I can presume, Brad, you will be cheering on the Hurricanes at a stupid time in the morning for us over in the UK. But for maybe fans who have different allegiances to Premiership clubs, is there any similarities from Premiership clubs to Super Rugby clubs that they might be able to say, oh, I'll support them because of a certain reason, or is it just a completely different landscape?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, the first thing that comes to mind, I suppose, would, like, for example, for like Wasps and Hurricanes, is that attacking sort of, you know, out of nowhere sort of rugby, that counter-attack sort of rugby, broken play sort of stuff. I think you're going to expect a lot of that, especially early on, like, you know, when you come back from pre-season, generally in a season anyway, early on, you know, boys are still trying to find their feet. So there's a few mistakes or the whatever it might be. So there's an opportunity to sort of play from nothing, really. I guess if you look at Saracens, the way that they play over here, they're quite a structured team, and they tend to play the same way most weeks, and they seem to get good results. And I suppose the Crusaders, in a sense, are like that as well. They tend to stick to their structures pretty, you know, pretty religiously. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess people can make up their minds, but I mean, there's only 5 teams to choose from. There's bloody 12 teams over here in the Premiership. So you can make up your mind depending on what you want.
And Damon mentioned there sort of the New Zealand derby factor, and we know how sort of ferocious that those games are. So to have them, you know, every week, other than, you know, the weeks where you do get the breaks, must be really exciting for you as players. And obviously, as you mentioned, if the fans are allowed to come back into the stadiums, it's going to be quite the atmosphere as well.
Yeah, it's going to be good, mate. Like, any rugby is going to be good, but it's probably going to be extra special because there's so much competitiveness before the New Zealand derbies. Probably the depth of squads will be quite crucial because obviously those derbies probably take their toll. So I think the rotations, probably everyone's going to get a run, which will be awesome for each franchise to give the guys that probably might not get a run as well. So yeah, it's going to be good, mate. We really can't wait, especially with the Blues first up, playing against our old mate. So it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember the other week, Dane, that you got asked a question in the press conference about coming up against Bowden, and Bowden himself has said he doesn't want to see you at Rupp time. And I think Brad can sympathise with that as well. So are you really looking forward to coming up again, especially with it being his debut?
Yeah, Baz probably hasn't hit a ruck in his whole career. Mate, he's one of the best players. He's quite quick. Probably too quick for me, but yeah. We'll see. Hopefully we come into each other and have a bit of a go. But yeah, no, it'll be good, mate. Like, we spent a lot of time with Baz, and it's good to see him. He's finally good to put on that Blues jersey, and yeah, probably make it extra special that he's playing against his mate. So yeah, it's going to be good.
And just from a personal point of view, Dane, how excited are you to get back playing? I know we touched on it at the top of the podcast about your excitement, but we've seen pictures this week of it getting a bit colder over in New Zealand, and you've been having to put the hard yards on training. But I guess you wouldn't swap that for not playing rugby.
Nah, mate. Not keen on the level 4 lockdown, that's for sure. So yeah, we trained, I think last Friday was like a typical Wellington day, hissing southerly and rain, and all the boys had smile on their faces and a bit of contact. So yeah, nah, mate, we'll take anything at the moment. So there's a real good buzz around the place, and yeah, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of excitement around the lads, and we're all keen to get stuck in and play some footy.
I think that's the thing, like, over this side of the world as well, is that you kind of get into a mindset where you might take it for granted a little bit what you do, and I suppose having this time off, you kind of realise that, man, you really miss what you love, and you're really passionate about what you do, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, you just want to get stuck in. And I think people are going to realise once you're there, like, we've got to make the most of it every time we turn up, because you never know when you might not make it the next season, or you might be playing for a long period of time. So I think that's massive.
Yeah, absolutely, Brad. And I mean, just one thing that I want to ask as well, Dane, is, you know, New Zealand is leading the way in terms of bringing rugby back, and I know Australia are hopeful of doing sort of something similar in the next few weeks or so. But do you think this could be sort of the future for Super Rugby going forward? Because there is a lot of travel involved for you guys, you know, travelling to South Africa and Argentina and obviously Japan in recent years. But could this be the way forward, do you think, or is it, you know, too soon to say at the moment?
Yeah, it's tough, mate. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty around Super Rugby. But I think, like, personally, I think we need Africa and Aussie. I don't think we can do it alone. Like, it makes playing, like, the travel, like Shields, you can tell you, but it makes it extra special, like, because we're playing some of the best players in the world, so that's obviously going to make New Zealand rugby strong as well. I think if we do it alone, we might just put ourselves in a bubble, and it might not help our game. That's where I'd, yeah, And there's been a lot of chat, like Africa might be going up to you lads, or we might have an Australasia competition. So yeah, we're not too sure who to believe at the moment. But I know there's a lot of work behind the scenes to put the work in to hopefully get a Supercom and get Africa and Aussie back on board and make it a round robin, which was what was the plan for next year. But I think, yeah, personally, I reckon we need to keep Africa and Aussie in it and, yeah, just and make it that, because I think it'll make the game stronger and make New Zealand rugby, Australian rugby and African rugby pretty strong as well.
Trips are the ones that bond the boys as well, isn't it? You get to go to Australia for a couple of weeks, pop over to Perth for another week or whatever it used to be.
Yeah, those good old trips.
There's a lot of stories that I think you're not telling us here.
No, yeah. My wife's in the lounge, so we'll have to save those ones.
and just finally, for me, Dane, in terms of rugby coming back in New Zealand, you know, it seems like over there that the Prime Minister has been so strong about how everyone's easing the way out of lockdown. And I guess rugby, like I said before, is such a massive part of society over there. So was rugby quite keen as one of the top agendas to come back as quickly as possible? Or has it just been a natural progression, do you think?
I think, yeah, like rugby is pretty important to New Zealanders and you know, especially the All Blacks and stuff like that. So, yeah, but I think when this happened, you could see that rugby, like sport, wasn't the most important thing. It was about people's lives and welfare and like we talked about, mental health as well. So, and I think, yeah, like I said, it's been just a progression of how well New Zealanders kind of just stuck into that level four and really done their part so we could, you know, get our rugby back and get our jobs going and stuff like that, getting our economy going back again as well. So, yeah, it's a combination of things, mate. And, yeah, I thought we've probably got to thank everyone in New Zealand for doing their part, because if we didn't, we would have been playing rugby, and there was probably times that we thought during that that we probably wouldn't get rugby back on the field. So, yeah, we're very, I suppose, honoured and privileged that we get to do that because of what New Zealand's done and the way that we're responding.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dane. Very, very well said. Now, normally we end our podcast, as Brad will know, with doing a 15 to take to Mars. Brad's was one of the best, I have to say. It went down quite the storm on social media. But Mark normally leads this part of the podcast. So, Mark, over to you.
Just before we get into that, just listening to Dane and Shieldsy just bounce off each other and talk about playing rugby over the years like we've all done. And you know, they just played it on a massively big scale and we played at Wimslow Rugby Club. But our patron is Sean Edwards, who a million years ago I played rugby with. And when you've worn the same colours as somebody, it sort of matters. But just picking the threads up of something Sean said to me when we were chatting about, you know, what makes a great player. And clearly we've got two absolute greats of the game here. And he said, well, you've got a choice in life and you can choose your attitude. And it strikes me that Dane and Shieldsy, they're not only durable and focused and disciplined and the things you'd expect, but they're deeply humble. And that, to me, is just a massive quality in a human being. Forget a rugby player. But, you know, it's just, you know, the All Black legend just grows bigger and bigger to me. And I'd be really fascinated in just lobbing this question at both of you. So the premise is that the Martians have landed and they want to take on Earth in a game of rugby to decide the future of civilization. The winners keep both planets. The losers, God knows, get sent to Pluto. So we're going to go on a shuttle. The shuttle takes 4 weeks to get to Mars. And your job is simply to select the best 15 to win that game. But they've got to be, I think, for you two particularly, they've got to be players that they're not just great players. They've got to be able to get on with each other. They've got to be great tourists. So the stories that you haven't told us, which one day you may tell us, need to be the hallmark of those players. And then on top of that 15, there's a manager, a coach, a water boy, and a kit man. So over to you.
Yep, I've picked players that I haven't played with, because some guys will get quite touchy and quite sensitive, I reckon, especially Bird. But when I look at some of the players, I reckon these guys will be good men and humble men, work hard, and yeah, you can have a bit of a laugh. So number one, I've got Oz Durant, the African prop, played in like 3 World Cups, beast of a man. Number two, I've gone Keith Wood, Irish hooker, one of the greats. He was a massive inspiration for me.
Nearly as quick as you, though.
He could kick better than me, though. Shit, he had some good kicks on him. Number three, Adam Jones from Wales. I just love the look of the man. He just looks like a good bugger. Number four, you guys will probably know, Marta Johnson.
Yeah.
He looks like a good man, good tough man on the field, and enjoy a few beers off it. Number five, Bucky Sbortha, African prop. Pretty tough on the field. Number six, I've gone Jerry Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an All Black legend, great Hurricanes legend as well. Number seven, George Smith, break turnover king. Number eight, Zinzan Brook.
Yeah.
If we need a drop goal, he's our man. number nine, George Gregan. Even though I probably hate him. Not hate him, but he was a tough competitor. But yeah, he looked like he was just the way he played was a great man. Number 10, Johnny Wilkinson, legend of the game. Number 11, Jonah Lomu. Yeah. Number 12, Brian Lee Maher, crunch tackle man.
The chiropractor.
It's 13, Frank Bunce, played for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Massive inspiration. I've gone 14 because he probably hangs out on the wing like I do. Sean Fitzpatrick, because I felt sting that I didn't put him in the hooker, so I thought he loved a few meat pies on the wing, so I had to chuck him in there. And number 15, a guy that probably grew up down the road from me, Christian Cullen.
Oh yeah.
Just legend of the game. So I've tried to put all, you know, the teams in there, not just All Black fans. And yeah, I'm a massive fan of the game. So there were some guys that were massive inspiration for me and I loved to watch when I was growing up. I'm a little bit biased here with the coaches and that. Brad could probably back me up. But coach, I've gone Chris Boyd, who's a great coach. Really good man. Loves a gin and tonic. Kit man. Well, one of Brad's good mates, who's runs a clothing company. I think it's Kukri. Reggie Goods. He'll be able to sort out a kit for us, no problem. Waterboy, Jeremy Thrush.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think he loves that movie, The Waterboy. So even more, Adam Sandler movie. So I reckon he'd be like him. And manager. With one of the greats, Conrad Smith.
Yeah.
I reckon he had a few social events planned for us. But yeah, that's my team, lads. It's bloody tough to pick.
For fear of committing national heresy, who would you select as captain?
Because
obviously you've got in there 92 cap, All Black legend, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you've got Mr. Johnson.
I'd probably go Keith Wood.
Keith Wood.
Captain. Yeah. It'd be a four, it wouldn't be a back. Or Martin Johnson. Like, he won World Cup, so there's a bit of experience there. But yeah, probably Keith Wood, I'll go captain.
Keith Wood. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Crush you the water police, is it?
He'd have an H2 ready to go straight away.
That's great. I like that.
I was going to say, Brad, you seem to enjoy that team. So, no arguments with that selection from Dave?
No, it's good. It's a good wee mix there. Obviously, there's probably a couple of players like the Reggie Goods who you guys may not have heard too much about. He's obviously a really close mate of ours. I grew up all my rugby together, and he's with the Hurricanes. He had to retire early, unfortunately, due to a concussion. So quite sad, but he's obviously moved on to bigger and better things. And And yeah, he's one hell of a bloke, and I definitely think there's always room for him. I feel bad not putting him in my foot. Not my starting Lucia prop now.
He would have been gutted.
I did ask him who he thought the best prop was, and he told me to put himself in there, but I didn't.
Brilliant. Well, Dane, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast. Thanks very much for giving up your time. And obviously, we wish you all the best with rugby returning. And say hello to Bowden Barrett for us when you meet him at Rooktown.
Cheers, lads. Keep doing what you guys are doing. And you guys have been awesome about, you know, tackling the mental health issues and making it, you know, so everyone can talk about it and doesn't have to hide. So keep doing that and take care, lads. And awesome to chat.
Thanks very much. Obviously, Brad, cheers for pulling it all together. Great to see you again.
No worries. Thank you, lads, for having us. Appreciate it. Cheers, Dane. Appreciate your help, mate.
And so, Rob, Mark and Dave, thanks very much for their time, as always. Dave, just to finish off with a bit of admin for Looseheads.
Yeah, just get yourselves over to looseheads.co.uk. If you fancy getting yourselves some stash, enter code POD at checkout for 10% off.
I got my stash on, I think it was Monday, and it's... I managed to take a picture with it and then managed to spill stuff all over it, which is why I'm not wearing it on this podcast. So it's an absolute shambles 2 days in that I've not been able to wear it, but it will return at some point. So many thanks to Mark, Rob and Dave, as well as Brad again. Great to catch up with Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
That's been another Looseheads podcast in association with Talking Rugby. Thanks for listening.